Welcome dads to Father's Day here at Life Fellowship. It is not every day a pastor gets to preach a message with his father sitting in the same church. And I was just thinking about what it is to be a father and came across a couple quotes. And the one went like this: a dad is someone who has replaced the currency in his wallet for snapshots of the family. There's some truth in that. Another quote was, a boy loves his mother, but he follows his father. Do you hear how much responsibility is in those words? A boy loves his mother, but he follows his father. You know, this morning I'm one of the lucky ones. My relationship with my father, I don't know how it could be better. My father has been a mentor to me. My father has instructed me in spiritually. He has instructed me in the workplace. But there's many areas, other areas of life that he's instructed me in. I get a little emotional when I talk about my dad. You know, he's really made my sermon preparation really easy this morning because of his example. If you just give me a second, I got to give that man a hug. So what you're going to hear this morning, it's going to be fairly personal, but it's stuff that I've learned from my dad. I know that not everybody in this room has the same relationship with your dad that I do. But if you're a dad out there today, you can start that kind of relationship with your son or your daughter. It doesn't have to be because, oh, my dad was so bad to me, or I don't have a relationship with him. That doesn't mean that you can't start a new relationship with your father. My title this morning is Embracing Being a Dad, and continuing on the theme of embracing relationships. This title can be taken two ways. I'd love for y'all to go home and embrace your dad today, if that's possible. But I would also like you, fathers in the congregation here, I would love you to embrace being a father. Because it's an incredible responsibility that we have as dads. But not just a responsibility, it is truly a privilege. My children have given me great joy. I have just really enjoyed being their dad. Although I've messed up quite a few times in my life. The first area that I want to challenge you guys in is to be a provider for your family. And this, all you guys know this, but there's many ways that you can provide for your family, even besides work. But I do want to talk about work a little bit. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. This verse talks about not necessarily workplace labor, but I want to focus on workplace labor a little bit and how important that is to us as dads. You know, there's something about getting the job done that works for me. I know sometimes in that process, when you're up in a hot attic and pulling insulation out, or in a really stressful situation trying to make a decision and things aren't working out, work can be a little tough. But there's also a sense of satisfaction of getting the job done. You know, growing up, my dad, he seemed to have this incredible thing that he really liked work. I don't know if you, if my age or younger, if you have the same desire to work that my dad had. He loved to work. And sometimes it just ticked me off because that always made me work too. But that's okay. I remember my dad really getting a lot of satisfaction out of work or projects, I would say. Things to make the farm, the pig farm, a little better. He'd come up with ideas and he would concrete this in or make a ramp here. Or he always was looking for how to make it a little better. You know, I think truly that as my dad worked, he got a lot of satisfaction out of it. And I'm not sure how he did it all the time, got the satisfaction part out. You say, he must have not had any stress back then. It was easy for him to do work. But now things are a lot more complicated, a lot more stressful. I think not. When's the last time you did a 100-acre farm with a two-bottom plow? Or you don't think he had stress in his life? I remember when I was 10 years old, Dad came up from the barn and he was crying because every pig that was pregnant in the barn had aborted their pigs. They had contracted this disease called TGE, which I don't even know what that stands for. But I do know it was incredibly stressful because for the next 4 months, we had no income. But we still had to pay feed because there were still pigs there. And I remember my dad agonizing over having to borrow money to pay for feed. Interest weren't 4% back then. They were actually 19%. So yeah, he had a little stress. But you know what? Even as a 10-year-old, I knew what we were going through was bad, but it never took away my father's joy. I'm sure it did. It had to in private. But he never let on that we were struggling. So to provide for a family through work is a good thing. Another way we provide for a family is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. And it's, husbands, love your wives. I don't know how many of you know my father, but if you know him well enough, he actually adores the ground that she walks on. Did you ever notice that? I don't know. Yeah, there's probably coming a day when you guys won't be together. That's not going to be a great time for either of you. I don't know if you know that, but. Yeah, they're like peas in a pod. Because what the one person does well, the other one compliments. And what the other one struggles in, the other one does really well. Dad doesn't do real good with fine things. Like, whatever that is. He struggles with his fingers doing delicate work. Or don't ask him to cook a meal. Or things like that. But then there's things my mom struggles in, and my dad picks that up and covers that up really nice. Like, my dad loves his wife a lot. And guys, as fathers, you want a stable family? Start adoring the ground your wife walks on. That's something that I don't think I come as close to as I need to because of the example of my father. My father has blessed me because he loved his wife. Even when it was stressful, even when it was hard, he loved her. Psalm 127:3. I just want to turn to that real quickly. You don't have to turn to it. Psalm 127:3 says this. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. Another thing, fathers, that you need to provide for your family is you need to provide a feeling of belonging. You know, in today's world, people don't belong anymore. Fathers, have you made your, do your kids know your, what your last name means? Okay, even if your last name, your father, wasn't quite what you expected, do they know what it means to be a Stolzfus or a Grove or whatever that is? Do they know what it means? And are they proud of that name? Do they feel that they belong? You know, another place where we can provide for our children is this: provide more time to listen. You know, it's estimated, and I know some of you are not going to have a tough time believing this, but when a child turns 15, he will have asked approximately 500,000 questions. Some of you fathers out there know what I'm talking about. 500,000 questions. That's pretty amazing. You know, that's a tremendous opportunity to share about the meaning of life and about your dependence on God. There was a story told of this young son, maybe 4 years old. He had a scratch on his finger, not significant at all. And he was trying to get his dad to look at his finger. His dad was reading the newspaper. And finally, after the fourth time, the father says, "I can't do anything about it anyhow now, can I?" And the little boy just hung his head. As he walked away, he muttered, "You could have said, oh." Listening, something fathers, we can really work on. Another way we can provide is provide for time together. This is something, if I was a teacher, I guess I am, I would give my father an A+ in this category, spending time together. You know, our vacations were never extravagant. We had this cabin up in the mountains. It was a green army barracks, truly. It was set up on blocks. We had a double-seater outhouse. But that's where we did vacation. And we had a blast. And I could sit here and I could talk to you for hours about my memories from the cabin. I could tell you about the time we killed a rattlesnake. I could tell you about the time we fed a bear marshmallows off the porch. I could tell you about the time there was a bear on the path and Mom was down on the road and my brother Delbert ran out of the cabin with an axe to my dad to fend off the bear, or what he thought would fend off the bear, but the bear wasn't really after my mom. My dad spent time with us. But as I recall, that didn't happen every weekend. That only happened a few times a year. Or I could tell you about our hunting trips up there. I could definitely tell you about my first buck that I killed when I was 14. Like that. 3 1/4 and 2 3/4. But I was incredibly proud when my dad hugged me right before we gutted that deer. Sort of stupid I'm crying about a deer, right? Not really. My dad spent time with me. Again, as I was studying, I came across this survey. There was 300 seventh and eighth grade boys did an assignment in class. They were supposed to accurately track the time that they spent with their dead. Now we're not talking a very small sample here, 300. Most of the boys, the only time that they spent with their dead during the entire week was at the dinner table. The average time spent, are you listening? The average time spent with those 300 boys, how much do you think it was for a week? Any guesses? An hour? That's a good guess, but it was only 7.5 minutes for the week. That's staggering. So if you want to provide for your family, you can do it in many different ways. But one of them is spending time with your children. The second thing that we're called to do as dad is to be a protector. To be a protector. Families need a father figure. You know, it is incredible how many people have no father or an absentee father. The lack of a father figure, it's very evident in our culture today. You know, in the time that I preached my sermon, 20 teens in America will have attempted suicide. 685 teens will become drug users. 23 teenage girls will have abortions in the time that I'm done with my sermon. Since 1980, 3 million teenagers have been treated for alcoholism. 9,000 teenagers are killed each year by driving drunk. So what does a father figure look like? Or how do you get that title? Fathers, you may have inherited some of that title, but not nearly as much as you think. A father figure has to be earned. And you earn it through the things I described with providing for your family. That's how you earn it. You don't earn it because you have that authority inherited or given to you. So the next way that we can embrace being a dad is a punisher. I got scripture to back it up. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chastiseth him. And we'll say this. When I discipline in anger, I'm never really proud of myself. When you discipline, back away from it a little bit and discipline out of love. My father disciplined me. And I'm grateful about that because it changed the course or the trajectory I was on. And I don't know if we think about what happens when we punish a child and when we do it correctly, when we allow it to be done out of love, it allows a child's guilt to be taken away because the punishment is given and there's forgiveness. And if you don't take the time to do the forgiveness part, the punishment part, the meaning gets lost. But if you allow a child to get rid of their guilt, things start to happen that are really, can be quite bonding at times. A story is told of a minister's son who, for some reason, wanted to skip school for 3 days. And he did. And the father thought, that the punishment should be that he should miss another 3 days of school. But he would do it in the attic and just get his food and water. But he would be alone for 3 days. The first night rolled around, and the father was sitting at his dinner table thinking about his son. He said, "I can't do this." He grabbed a pillow, went up the stairs of the attic, gave his son a hug, and laid down beside him and slept with him that evening. He did that the second and the third night. And because the father shared in the punishment, just like Jesus shared in the punishment for our sins, an incredible bond formed between father and son. When you punish your children, learn to get a little creative in how you do it and share, and sometimes share in their punishment. You know, we can realize a much bigger blessing when we do discipline out of love than when we do it out of anger. So the fourth thing today that I want to talk about is pattern. Now, punisher and pattern. Yeah. One more there. You see all the other ones end in R, but I didn't know if patterner was a word, so I just said pattern. A father really creates the atmosphere of a family. You may think the mom does, but do you ever think about when you're angry, there's not much good happening at your house? When you're, I guess I have to be a little vulnerable here. I love to go on vacation, but there's a period of time between the actual vacation and getting ready to go that I struggle with. Guys, I don't know if you have this issue or not. Are you ever really impatient with your children that hour before you go on vacation? Come on, let's go here. We got places to go and things to do. And by the time I get myself parked in the front seat behind the driver's wheel, we've lost a solid hour of our vacation because nobody's happy. And there's people yelling at each other, and it's not a good situation. It's not a good place to be. I mean, come on, seriously. You're getting ready to go on vacation, Galen. You're on vacation, basically. You're not working. Just put the stuff in the truck and go. But we all have things like that, right, guys? Where we control the atmosphere. Some of you with young children know exactly what I'm talking about when you talk about pattern. If you pick up a hammer, they're going to pick up a hammer. If you run, they're going to run. If you go swimming, they'll jump in too. You're a pattern maker. Another story. Just a quick quote I came across. A man was walking across the field to the local tavern. He glanced behind him and saw his son. And the son said, "Look, Dad, I'm following in your footsteps." The man immediately turned around and he went home. So my faults, the things that I don't do well, I got to look at. Because I am a pattern for my kids. So when I go off on this vacation thing, I'm creating four kids that are just going to be a bear for their spouse when it's time to go on vacation. We've worked through some of this stuff, so we're working through stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? You're a pattern. And guys, I want you to take your responsibility seriously as a pattern for people's lives. The fourth thing is a priest. Guys, do you know the awesome responsibility God has given you as a leader to be the priest of your house? In the Old Testament, a priest carried the sacrifice into the altar and sacrificed it on the altar because they wanted the person that they're receiving the sacrifice from to have forgiveness. We have the responsibility, dads, of being the priest of our home. When things aren't going well, when things are tough, we need to be that priest. Another thing a priest did, I think a priest as being very alert and tuned with the times and tuned what's going on. Dads, I exhort you to be alert. Be alert. There is stuff everywhere that is attacking your family. I want you to be alert to temptation, personally. Not just your kids, but personally. I want you to be alert to his coming. I'm going to read a few passages. Matthew 24, 42 talks about his coming. I want you to be alert about his coming. It says this, therefore keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known of at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. And I also want to read the one about temptation. Matthew 26, 41 says this. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Guys, that's a true statement. You don't want to disappoint in temptation. The spirit, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. That's why I like, Vernon, what you're doing with stepping up and establish accountability, because I'm weak. You're weak. Establish accountability with other Christians and watch and pray. In 1 Peter 5:8, he says to watch out for the devil. You guys got to understand. Fathers, you got to understand that the devil is preying on your family. And I'm not talking about P-R-A-Y. P-R-E-Y is the word I'm using here. He's preying on your family. He wants your family. Are you just going to sit there and let him take it? What are you going to do? Are you going to make some hard decisions on how you provide and how you protect, on how you punish, how you pattern, and how you're a priest? Another way we can be alert is to be faithful in our Christian walk. Be faithful. Know what you believe. Share what you believe. Not just within your family, but I mentioned how many people don't have a dad. There's room for you to be a second dad. Even if you don't have everything in your family quite figured out, there's people need you. Be faithful in God's call in your life. Another way you can be alert is just to be a teacher. It's so easy as a dad not to be a teacher. To be an active teacher. You're always teaching, but to be an active teacher, it's pretty easy. So be a teacher to your children. So as I think about this lesson, I looked at five things. Fathers, I want you to be providers. Not just at work, because providing encompasses so much more than just work. It encompasses time spent, listening. What are some of the other things? Create feelings of belonging, loving your wives. That's what it means to provide, not just work. The second thing is protector. I want you to be a protector for your family. I want you to do some hard things when things come into your family. I want you to be a punisher, as hard as that is to say. But I want you to do it in love. And I want you to, each time that you punish, I want you to allow your child to apologize and get rid of that guilt that is caused by sin. Number four is pattern, that atmosphere creator. I want you to create an atmosphere that you want your kids to follow. And the fifth thing is, I want you to be a priest, to cover the spiritual side of your family. I have a checklist of things that I was just thinking of as I was studying. I don't know if this will help you. If you want to take the time to write it down, I think that would be great. So here's my checklist that I would love the mother of my children more. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. The second one is, I would listen more. I would hear when my child is asking me to fix a scratch, even if it is just saying, oh. I would seek more opportunities to give my child a feeling of belonging. Do you know how important this is? I can't even tell you. That's why God created families, to give kids a feeling of belonging. When this is in place, that atmosphere can't be beat. When it's not in place, as I've seen too many times, it is ugly. I would express words of appreciation more. Is it so hard to dish out a compliment every once in a while without a string attached to it? Yeah, I would express words of appreciation more. I would spend more time together. Ephesians 5:16, I'm going to just take the time to read that. Says this, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. I like that phrase. Making the most of every opportunity. Doesn't have to be much. The average was only 7.5 minutes. We can certainly do better than that every week, right? Make the most of every opportunity. I would laugh more. I'm not going to make any comment on that one. I would make knowing the Heavenly Father a priority. So as you look at this checklist, you could put these things in any category I just talked about. You could put this checklist into, am I providing for my family in this way? You could put it into, am I protecting my family? Well, you say, what does laughing have to do with protecting my family? Well, just maybe. If you won't be so angry and be laughing at yourself a little bit more, maybe your family would be a family. You can put this whole list into punisher. I look at the word laugh again. On occasion, I've had to laugh when I had the discipline, not really in front of my my child, but I had to laugh inside. Look at it as, again, when you discipline, look at it as taking away their guilt, and you have to do that in love. Or you could put this checklist in what kind of pattern, atmosphere creator I'm making for my family. And then the fifth thing is, as a priest, am I putting that checklist inside of that? So, Dad, in closing, thank you again for those five things. As you taught me with, I'm going to say, incredible skill. And you would say you didn't do everything right, and that's probably true. But I forget those things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for fathers. And Lord, I just pray that today you would raise up fathers that care about their family, about their children, and you would help us to do this well. It's not an easy chore. It's not an easy task, but I pray that you would commission us as fathers to love like you love the church. I pray this in your name. Amen.